Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we are in the middle of the series In Christ I Am. It's been an amazing series. We have learned a lot, have we not? I hope you have been helped by the things that you've learned so far because of who you are in Jesus, right? Especially how, and we're literally, we're at the beginning stages here, talking about how who we are in Jesus transforms us in the moment of salvation, right? The relationships that we have with our Heavenly Father and our friend Jesus and our Holy Spirit who is in us, constantly affirming that we belong to God, right? Those three relationships have been magnificently transformed at the moment of salvation because of who you are in Jesus. And we've been transitioning for the last 3 weeks, including this week, into the positions that have been given to us at the moment of salvation. Who are we? What are the positions that are ours because of who we are in Jesus, right? We looked at the fact that you are redeemed, the aspect of redemption. I'm free from slavery of sin. The debt has fully been paid. And we looked at all the different meanings, the freedom that we have in Jesus. We also looked at who we are as ones who are forgiven in Jesus, right? Man, out of our heart, there was a lot that flowed out of there that caused immense pain to God. Things that were contradicting God, our Creator, that we have offended God, and yet He fully and completely forgives us because we are in Jesus. What an amazing thing. Today, we're going to look at the third position, and we're going to finish up what it means to be in Jesus at the moment of salvation. And then we're going to transition on to the rest of our life here on earth as believers in Christ and how being in Jesus supports our walk in Jesus. All right. So this is our last position that we're going to look at before we transition on to that. And it's interesting, just the aspect of the third position. In order for us to understand the third position well, I think it's helpful for us to go into the sermon that Jesus spoke, the Sermon on the Mount. It's found in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look at one of the most famous sermons that Jesus preached. And He's talked a lot about different things through this sermon already that we're going to look at. And we're going to jump in kind of towards the beginning, but kind of also He's already on a roll right now. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19 starting out. This is what Jesus has said. He just finished the Beatitudes, talking about salt and light and how we are to be salt and light. And then He says something very interesting in verse 18. He says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So let's kind of think about who Jesus is talking to here. He's talking to Jews. These are God's chosen people that God chose to be His special people, right? And to help the Jews follow Him, God gives them very specific ways to obey Him through His servant Moses, the commands that God has given the children of Israel, right? A lot of us, many people know when they think of the commands of Jesus, they think of the Ten Commandments, you know, Moses, you know, and on the mountain and the Ten Commandments and all that kind of thing. But there are actually many more commandments than just those ten. There's actually 613 commands that God gave for the children of Israel to follow. But here's the thing. See, as time goes on, the commands start having different meanings of, like, leanings of importance in the eyes of those who were obeying them. some people would say, hey, these commands are much more important than these commands. These commands aren't that important. I mean, if you miss it, sure, yeah, it's no big deal, but not nearly as important as these other commands. And even more than that, beyond that, they started adding teachings that God didn't command them into those commands. And they even put some of those teachings, man-made teachings, as more important than the commands that God had originally set in place for the Israelites. And so Jesus is telling the Jews, he's saying to the Jews that the whole law is important. That's what he's talking about right here. Don't even break the least of these commands, is verse 19 says, right? In verse 18, even like one aspect of the law is fully important, and none of that will perish. And he's saying, listen, guys, it's not just you got to pay attention to the great commands. The least commands are just as important too. And he's clarifying that, right? So he's saying, listen, if you disregard the least of these commands that you think are the least commands, I'm going to consider you the least in the kingdom of heaven. And then he even goes one step further as he's preaching. He says, speaking of righteousness, let me tell you who is actually going to be good enough to be in the kingdom of heaven. And he says in verse 20, the next verse, he says this, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Today, we're going to look at what it means to be righteous, like really righteous. What is the requirement that God has for us to be righteous? One, can we make that righteousness? And two, if we can't, what do we do? And this is where being in Christ is so helpful, right? So let me talk about this a little bit. Jesus says in verse 20, he says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you got no chance, is what he's saying, right? And think about the Pharisees for a second. These guys were professional law abiders. I mean, these guys, as far as obeying the commands were concerned, these guys were pros, elite law abiders, you could probably say. I mean, they didn't just try to keep the 613 laws. They tried to keep all of the other bonus laws. Like, for example, they took law obeying and made it to the extreme. Like, for example, just the Sabbath. The law says, God commanded the Israelites, remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Don't work on the Sabbath. Rest on the Sabbath. And then what the Pharisees did is they went beyond what that law says and start saying, okay, so what does it mean to not work on the Sabbath? First of all, we need to limit the number of steps we take in order to really say, hey, this isn't enough work. So they limit the number of steps to say, these are the steps you're allowed to take. And what about carrying things? Okay, this is the amount of weight that you're allowed to carry in order to really obey the Sabbath law, just to be safe, okay? They've even talked about the number of letters you could write in how many words are you allowed to write in order for it to not be working on the Sabbath? Hyper strict. And they did this to all aspects of the law. Jesus says, your righteousness has to beat their righteousness. I'm sure for the people who heard it, they had to be discouraging. Oh, man. I mean, normal people, they didn't try to even compete with the Pharisees. Like, I can't reach what they're doing. I can't even get close to what they're doing. And Jesus says that what they're doing isn't even enough, that I got to go past them. I'm sure for those who heard it, I was like, oh man, I got no chance. I literally have no chance of exceeding that kind of righteousness. How in the world is God going to accept my righteousness? And Jesus does something interesting after this. He starts to correct the righteousness of the Pharisees. Like, this is what they're doing, but this is what it's really talking about. And he shows the people that he's talking to what real righteousness really is. What is it? What does it look like? So basically, for the next 25 verses, all the way from verse 20 until verse 48, Jesus kind of resets what it means to be righteous in following the law. What does it mean? And he basically makes this one very clear clarification. He says this, righteousness isn't necessarily about the outward obedience that the Pharisees are focusing on. Rather, it's somebody who is obedient both outwardly and inwardly. He describes outward and inward obedience. For example, after this point, he starts talking about how the law isn't just about not killing somebody. Well, we know that that's not good, right? But Jesus goes beyond that and says it's not the outward obedience of killing somebody. It's also about not hating another person in your heart. It's not just about committing adultery. It's about not lusting in your heart. It isn't just the outward obedience. It's the inward obedience, the part that nobody sees. The Pharisees were so focused on the outside that the inside had no context in obeying the law. And Jesus says, no, no, no. Yes, outside is important, but don't forget the inside. The inside is what's critical here. He says, it's not just about making a promise that you have to obey. Like, if you make a promise, then you have to follow through with it. He's saying, listen, just be honest. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Let what's in your heart come out in your honesty. Even he talked about how we deal with our neighbors. You know, loving your neighbor is good. And they say, love your neighbor is okay. And if you're doing that, it's good. And you can hate your enemies. But Jesus says, no, 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 love your enemies too. You know, the guy that has something against you, your enemy, the person that seems to like really, really despise you. Yeah, love that guy too. And he finishes all of these different things, resetting the law, not just outward obedience, but inward obedience. And he says in Matthew 5:48, to sum it all up, at what level should we obey the law? What level of righteousness should we attain to? He says something amazing in verse 48. Matthew 5:48 says this, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Here we see something that when you read that, it's like, how am I supposed to do that? Right? I can't do that. I mean, I know I'm not perfect. Even if I started from here and did all that I possibly could, I cannot reach that level of perfection. I know I think that. I'm sure you probably think the same thing too after reading that. Be therefore perfect? I don't know if I can do that. Even in Matthew 22:37, Jesus describes how all of the laws, the whole laws can be fit into two commandments, which is what? This is kind of what if you're part of Akigawa Baptist Church, you probably know this. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And then the second one, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is where we at Akigawa Baptist Church get our core values as a church family. This is what we believe. We believe that we should love God with everything that we have, everything that is in us, love God. And then love our neighbor just like we love ourselves, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our focus as a church family. But to be honest, it's a really hard one to keep, isn't it? There is no way that we love Jesus with all of our heart, that we love our neighbors in the same way we love ourselves. And the truth is, as humans, no matter how hard we try, in our own efforts, it is impossible to be perfect as God is perfect, like what Jesus tells us to do. And there's a reason for that. The problem, the reason we cannot attain that is because we have a problem. And that problem started with Adam. And it continues to affect us all throughout history and us and on down to our children and their children's children. And the problem is our sin. Our sin even taints the good things we try to do. Not just the bad stuff, it even affects the good that we do. Even our righteousness is stained with our sin. It affects both our outward obedience and our inward obedience. So no matter how good we try to be, we cannot meet what God requires for perfect righteousness. But this is the reason Jesus came. This is the very reason he came. See, Jesus, this is so cool because he says this. Jesus says, be righteous, be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then he literally lives that life of perfection for you. This is amazing. Jesus did not come just to die on the cross for your sins. He did that and he fully paid for your sins, but he also came to live the life of perfect righteousness for you. He lived perfectly outwardly and inwardly. His actions, his words, and his thoughts were perfect, even as his heavenly Father is perfect. You see, Jesus met the standard of righteousness that God required completely, a perfect standard. This standard of righteousness went way beyond the righteousness of the Pharisees. And you know what's amazing? Is that Jesus literally did this on your behalf. He did it for you. This is what it says in Romans 5:19. Romans 5:19, it says this, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." This is talking about Adam, right? "As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one," this is talking about Jesus, "the complete, perfect obedience of Jesus, shall many be made," what? "Righteous." Many are made righteous because of the perfect obedience of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So how does this work? How is Jesus' complete obedience connected to me so that I am made righteous, right? We need to understand that connection. Okay, Jesus is perfect. So how does that perfect life that Jesus lived, how does it like apply to me? What's my connection in all of this, right? How does Jesus' righteousness become my righteousness? So to find the answer to that, let's go to Romans chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 21 through 24. Romans chapter 3, we're going to start with 21. It says this, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." What's this verse talking about? It's saying that God has a plan where he makes unrighteous sinners righteous. And he can justly give that righteousness to them that doesn't require them to perfectly keep the law. It's the righteousness of God without the law. And it's manifested. It's being revealed. He's revealing this plan that he has in place, right? And the Old Testament being the witness, he's talking about even within the Old Testament, you can find all kinds of hints that reveal this plan. It's saying this is the plan. The Old Testament's revealing the plan. This is what it's all about here. So what's the plan? Verse 22. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference." Even the righteousness of God, God's righteousness, that level of righteousness is what is being applied here. That's amazing. And the reason is because Jesus's righteousness is perfect, just like God's righteousness is perfect, right? That's what we're talking about. That standard, God's standard of righteousness is being applied. How is it being applied? Oh, I love this. This is so cool. It says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all." Unto all and upon all. It's describing how Jesus completely covers us in his righteousness, fully immerses and covers us unto all and upon all, immersing us completely unto all and upon all, completely covering, overlaying us with his righteousness. It's literally what it means to be in Christ. It's like Christ is covering us and immersing us. It's because we are in him that this righteousness fully outwardly and inwardly is applied to us. Isn't that cool? Oh, I love that. Who's it given to? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference. In other words, Jews don't get a special bonus. Gentiles don't get a special bonus. Everybody's on level ground. It's given to everyone who, instead of trusting in his own goodness to be accepted by God through the law, he puts his trust in Jesus's perfect goodness. And he gives that perfect righteousness, covers us and immerses us in that perfect righteousness. Verse 23 and 24 continue that context. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all on level ground here. Jews aren't better because they've been obeying the law kind of decently, fairly halfway decently. Gentiles aren't like having a severe disadvantage because they haven't obeyed the law. This kind of perfect righteousness comes from Jesus's goodness, Jesus's righteousness. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is so interesting. So because of God's grace to us by faith, everyone can be freely made righteous by God himself. Oh, and he did this through Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. That's what he's talking about, through the redemption. Remember what we're talking about, redemption, freeing us from our sins? That moment of salvation when we put our faith in Jesus. Jesus redeems us. He takes the slavery of sin, the bondage of sin in which we were enslaved to sin. He takes that, breaks us free from the chains of sin. And then he forgives us of the wrong that we have done. And now we see it goes even further than that. He gives us perfect righteousness, freedom from sin, forgiveness of sins, and then the extra bonus, full, complete righteousness. Oh, isn't that amazing? This is what we have in Jesus. In Christ, I am made righteous. You are too. You are completely righteous. You have been given this special position of being righteous that God has applied to you himself in the according to the plan that he's always had. Wow. Just sit and think and dwell on that for a little bit. It's amazing to think about. What does this mean? How does this affect us? What does this special position that we have, being made full-blown righteous in the eyes of God, fully inwardly immersed, outwardly covered in Jesus's righteousness, how does that affect who we are right now? There's a couple of effects, and we're going to look at two of them. Here's the first one. We find it in Romans 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. This is what it says. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's what it's talking about. Being made righteous, being justified, just as if I'd never sinned. It's a common phrase that's used for that. Being fully made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Full-blown peace. By whom? By Jesus also. We have access by faith into this grace wherein right now we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, the glory of God is something that we don't have to fear anymore. It's something that we hope for. It's peace that we have with God. Why do we have such peace with God? Because we are righteous in his eyes. It's probably one of the first sermons that we looked at, the first aspects that we looked at of who we are in Jesus, how God welcomes us as his children. One of the reasons that it makes that possible is what we looked at in Ephesians 1. Remember what we looked at in Ephesians 1 when we're talking about God welcomes us as his children? Verse Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. It's something that we alluded to, but I couldn't really flesh out until we got to this point right here. Verse 3 and 4 says this, Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, what? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That we should be holy, for all of a sudden come short of the glory of God, because we cannot match his holiness. And yet God gives us the holiness of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus. And we stand pure, holy, blameless before God. That happens because we have been made righteous in Jesus. Jesus made us holy and righteous through his righteousness, covering and immersing us. You are made righteous. And with that righteousness comes peace, knowing that your heavenly Father sees you in the same righteousness that he sees his Son, Jesus. Right now, you stand before your heavenly Father as one who has the full and complete position of righteousness, because you are immersed in Jesus's righteousness, because you are covered in Jesus's righteousness. Isn't that amazing? That's so amazing. There's another effect. This righteousness that is yours isn't something that God holds back until we get to heaven, and then he just, boom, gives it to us all. He's actually already in the process of changing you, literally changing you, not just positional righteousness, but actual literal righteousness right now. He's already starting the process of making you righteous here, right now. And here's what I mean. Because you have been given the position of righteousness, this is the fancy term we use for justification. You are made righteous. You are justified. Now you actually get to see, enjoy what that process looks like. What's the, not just the future aspect. Hey, one day I'm going to be righteous. You actually get to enjoy a taste of that here, now, on earth. You get to see, you're literally in the middle of being made righteous right now. It's another term we use called sanctification. You're being sanctified, purified, set aside, basically being holified. That's basically what it's talking about. God does not wait to give you that peace and joy that's yours because of Jesus' righteousness applied to you. He doesn't wait to give that to you. He already starts letting you enjoy it, aspects of it right now. He lets you see what it's going to look like by changing you now, today, into the image of Jesus, perfectly righteous Jesus. Here's how 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3 describe that process. And this is where we're going to close today. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're not there yet. We have not reached perfection yet. We clearly know that, right? We haven't yet, but one day we will. When we see Jesus face to face, the process of being made righteous will have been fully completed. Verse 3 is an interesting verse. We look at verse 2, and this is our response. Verse 3 is our response to verse 2. Let me read verse 2 again. I'm going to go back to verse 2. It says this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, But we know that when he shall appear, when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What's our response? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is the position of righteousness. You already have the position of righteousness. It's already yours. And so you start living like the position that is yours. This is your hope. Because you are pure and righteous. You are pure and righteous. So live like it. Live as one who has been made perfect, righteous, and pure. Because one day you get to fully know what it feels like. What it's like in its absolute fullness. When you stand before Jesus, the one in whom you are, right now, you are made righteous. Right now, you get to live as one who is made righteous. The position is yours. And as the Holy Spirit works in your heart to mold you and to shape you into the image of Jesus, it's talking about that righteousness that Jesus has and has applied to us, immersed in us and covered us with. The Holy Spirit begins changing our hearts slowly and surely so that we get the peace of God. We enjoy the peace and joy that comes from this perfection that God is starting to work on in our lives. You are made righteous. So live like it. So live like it. Live for righteousness. Ask the Holy Spirit to change you and humbly obey yourself to him in the way that Jesus obeyed his Father. So we obey, knowing that Jesus gives us the grace and the power to do so, as we are going to start learning over the next couple of weeks, as we see how not only Jesus saves us, but how he sustains us through our life here on earth. But for today, think about this. You are made righteous. You are fully immersed, fully covered in the righteousness of Jesus by simple faith. The moment you put your trust in him, he completely set you free from your sin. He completely gave you full forgiveness of those sins, and he gives you righteousness, his own righteousness. With that, we can live as those who have been made free, live as those who have been forgiven, and live as those who have been made righteous. That's you. That's you when you put your faith in Jesus. Don't forget that. You have that position now, and you get to live like that now because you get to live as one who you already are in Jesus, waiting for the day in which that change is fully complete. What a day that is going to be. I cannot wait. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful moment. The moment we see Jesus for who he is. And as we are changed in his likeness completely. Oh, I can't wait. But for today, remember that hope you have in him. And live in that hope because you are in Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Jesus, wow. I tell you what, this has just been an amazing thing to think about all of the things that you have done for us. My goodness, what a position that is ours. What a position that is ours. Fully forgiven, fully redeemed, fully justified because of you. Because of you, you've done it all and you've given it to us. You have immersed us and you have covered us in your righteousness. And for that, I thank you. Thank you for giving me your righteousness. Now help me to live in it. Help each person who listens to this, the person who's listening right now, help them to be able to really get the fact that they have been made righteous. So now they get to live as ones who have been made righteous. Holy Spirit, guide our thoughts. Not just our outward actions, but our inward thoughts. Convict us when we do wrong. Remind us of forgiveness that is ours. Remind us that we have been set free from the bondage of sin. We no longer have to live a lifestyle of sin. We've been set free from it. And as we have forgiveness, help us to live as ones who have been made righteous. All because of who we are in Jesus. Jesus, thank you. It is in your name. I thankfully and humbly pray this. Amen.